Welcome to our new monthly show, Storytellers of Color. The show will air every second Monday as part of a public affair on KGNU. The main goal of the show will be to provide a safe space for communicators of color through a series of conversations to elevate their voices and discuss issues of equality in media. The show is inspired by recent gatherings of various working groups, including Latinx Voices, organized by Diamond Hardiman, from Free Press, New Voices Colorado Project, and Journals of Color Network, led by Tina Griego, reporter, editor, and coach from Colorado News Collaborative. I am your host, Rosanna Longo-Better. We decided to start close to home with a former volunteer from KGNU, Jennifer Mivory. Journalist, writer, artist, and media scholar, Jennifer Mivory has spent years at the often challenging intersection between race, gender, and media. Welcome to the show today, Jennifer. I'm super happy to have you.
Oh, Rosanna, I'm delighted to be with you in your inaugural broadcast. Congratulations to you, and thank you so much for inviting me to be on.
So as I go back into this challenging tune that we talk always about, race, gender, and media, the famous DEI work that we're always doing, I would like if you can please share with us, how did you find yourself there?
Well, as you mentioned in your opening, I got my start in broadcasting and communication at KGNU. It's been about four decades, and I started in high school. And it was very serendipitous. There is a show, one of the longest running shows at KGNU, called Eclipse, The Shedding of a Blacker Light. It was started by three CU students in 1978. And the students and my mentor, Becky Taylor, Steve Chavis, and the third gentleman, his name is Daryl. I can't remember his last name, but his on-air persona was the Iceman. So I really just kind of fell into it. It was a program that airs every Sunday night. It plays rap music and R&B. And that's how it started. That was at the height of when rap was sort of, coming out of the Bronx and coming into the mainstream. And a serendipitous meeting led to me starting to volunteer there. And that's how I got started.
Really cool. And I think it is super important to highlight that from the very beginning, because I still remember the first time I met you in our training that we have been doing as part of the Trends Reporting Fellowship. It's a program supported by Community Foundation of Boulder County, KGNU Community Radio, and the Knight Foundation. We have been doing a series of trainings, and I mentioned to you that the first time I went into this meeting, I connected with you right away. And to find out that you were already here in KGNU and that you, in a way, cut your teeth in community radio here at the station, I said, This is magical for me. So as we go out with this informal conversation, I also want to share with you that I came across one of your pieces called Why We Write. And in it, you mention you volunteer at a local radio station in your community, but you also talk about how you got started. And this is when you were in third grade. So if you can please share, because that piece really touched my heart, and I wish you will have it in front of you, or maybe we can read some of the pieces for our listeners. It's so incredible. So if you can please take us how you started getting into this world of, let's say, art, media, communication, I'm going to say, you know, a way of really having this need to bring to others your thoughts, your feelings, and your view of the world.
Well, I'm really fortunate, Rosanna, in that I consider myself a Boulder native. I was not born here, but I've been raised here since I was 2 and a half. So I think that makes me pretty legit. So I'm a proud product of Boulder Valley School District. And when I was growing up in Boulder, I'm just very fortunate that the school system and the community has great resources and art resources and musical resources. And I was really fortunate to have wonderful music teachers and wonderful teachers in the Boulder Valley School District. And that is where my, along with my parents, my love of art and culture and music was curated or just poured into me. So the in that piece that you referenced, when I was in third grade at Paddock Elementary School, which is now a Montessori school on the south side of Boulder, I can't recall the name of it, what they renamed it, but we made a film. Our teacher, that was a class project, and all the kids participated in writing the script. And I still have the script. I don't have it in front of me, but it was about aliens landing in our lunchroom. And we made a little film, and so from there, I was introduced early to the arts, to music. I'm very rusty, but I'm a classically trained musician. I, learned to play piano, violin, and viola as a child and continued through high school. And just the music programs and the teaching, not just in the school system in Boulder Valley, but there are a lot of artists in the community when I was growing up. And so I had exposure and was exposed to, to the arts and to culture, and there are just many resources availed to me. And so that really shaped my life and shaped who I am as an artist and a writer.
Shape you as an artist and a writer, and really propel you to this world that you are always investigating, how these things of race, gender collide in your creation too. And it is so nice that you're pointing out that it was here where you got in love, not only with, going to the library with your parents, but also being exposed to music. And I want to share today's music theme. I got it from my son, Daniel Better, who is studying music production. And he created this little tune. And I said, you have to give me something because I'm starting a new show and I need original music. And there it is. So you're right on. Boulder has a lot to provide for young people, and especially if they are able and if they are lucky and if they have the guidance that is required. But it's not often like that. So one of the things that that came to my mind to ask you is, how did you succeed in a system that was not built for you?
Well, I don't know. I guess my parents. my parents have always were very encouraging of my, the things I wanted to do as a child, as a young person. As I said, the community offered opportunities when I fell into the opportunity to work at KGNU, which I did for about 6 years. I started around 10th grade, and I worked, I would work during the school year on that show, Eclipse, and then early into college. And so that there was a young woman who was a Black woman who was a CU student at the time and just coming out of CU, was interested in me and mentored me and said, I expressed an interest in radio, and she said, hey, come on down, you can volunteer. And she was so kind, Becky Taylor. I really don't know what I would have done if I hadn't had her early hand in my life and her encouragement, because she allowed me to co-host a show. At that time, we would read news on the show. We would do these cultural updates about events and concerts and things coming into the area. I would read, briefs from the newspaper about different artists and such. So it's really important for young people It was in my life, you know, to have people who were encouraging me in the things that I was good at, the things that I leaned into and I enjoyed. And I had that all along the way in my teachers. I was very, in high school, I was in choir and I was in several choirs at Fairview High School, Go Knights. And and my teachers there, Ron Revere and Jim Keller, who were the choir choral teachers and directed the choral department at the time, which was a fabulous department that rivaled, you know, the New York School of Performing Arts. So this is a public school. And that was well before people knew about the New York School of Performing Arts. It's featured in the movie Fame. So it just, the adults around me, you know, I was encouraged by my parents, of course, and then other adults who encouraged my talent.
I'm speaking with Jennifer Mavery. She holds a doctorate in communication from the University of Maryland with a concentration in media and society and a master's degree in TV, radio, film from S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University in New York. Her commentaries and her writing have appeared in publications such as the New York Times, that I love, The Progressive, The Blacklist, among others. So important to just bring this conversation back into all these groups that I have mentioned to you, the Journals of Color. You have come to the Latinx Voices Working Group 2. You are part of these, what's called the inaugural cohort of fellows with a Trends Reporting Fellowship. And you have heard that we're having conversations around the lack of representation of journals, reporters, media producers, storytellers of color, and the need for their work in our society. How do you see change happening in this area?
Change is happening very slowly. And at the same time, the past year, there seems to have been an accelerant in this area as well, mainly because of the murder of George Floyd and the pandemic really highlighting the inequalities that exist because of systemic racism throughout every industry and every corner of our society. So it's good, but I think it's a little worrisome, you know, because in 1968, the Kerner Commission, at the end of the 60s, as you know, the Kerner Commission put out a study about the riots throughout the United States and how the media, had there been more Blacks in the media at that time, reporting on the conditions in big cities that Blacks were dealing with, that some of the riots and some of that could have been quelled. And so it's a little disheartening because I think that the media writ large really kind of dropped the ball in the late 80s, early 90s, because they thought everything by then you had many more Blacks in media, not a lot, but relative to the numbers of, you know, white men and white women who were working, but mostly, of course, always white men. But then I think that they thought, oh, well, we've achieved equality and it's done. And you see that in the last 3 or 4 decades, you know, things bubbled up under the surface and they came to explode or implode last year. So I think the work is always, we will always have to be vigilant in the work. I don't think it's not a one and done.
It's a continuous work. Huh? It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. As we are having this conversation about the lack of representation and the need for more storytellers of color, I'm opening, you know, this word storytellers, because as I was looking into the work that you have done with as an actress, as a producer, as a writer, there are so many areas that people can express and connect with their communities and be the ones holding not only the stories, but the what's happening and the resistance and how they can really be seen. Because many times with our community, what happens with our in our communities, we are not seen. So how have you been able to show yourself and be seen?
Well, I think storytellers who happen to be of color have to find a place that feels welcoming, right? A place that is going to illuminate or highlight or uplift them. And depending on where one lives or, you know, one's community, that can be challenging, certainly. But even if you don't always maybe find that community, I think you just have to keep writing and producing and doing your art, doing your work. That's certainly what I do. I haven't always had a space or a place or a tribe or a community to lean on. And it doesn't always have to be physical either. Certainly with the internet now, it's a way you can connect with people, right? Without having to live in the same city. So you can find people through groups, writers groups, to uplift you or to join or to get information, you know, from. So I certainly it's much easier now than it was 3-4 decades ago for people to find a tribe and find a community, I think.
Yeah, young people, they are the ones, huh? They know where it's at, you know, they know
yes.
the place. I just couldn't stop myself, and I printed your piece that I love so much. I'm speaking with Jennifer Mavery, and she wrote this piece that I really like to read a little piece to our listeners. I write because it's ingrained in my DNA to tell stories, and I have always had a strong desire to give voice to my experience. As an artist who happens to be a Black woman, I am everywhere and nowhere. Visible yet invisible, fighting to be seen in a society that has sought to devalue my presence since my ancestral were brought here in chains. Such beautiful way of putting it out there. Thank you so much for writing such beautiful pieces. You have a way like the ocean to write, and I just wanted to make sure that we bring this beautiful writing to this first show. This first show of Storytellers of Color. Is there something that I forgot to ask you that you would like for me to ask?
No, Rosanna, you're an excellent interviewer. I've enjoyed not being the one to have to be the interviewer. It's nice to kind of sit back and have someone have the pressure on someone else to ask the questions and come up with the questions and lead the conversation. So it's just been nice to chat with you.
I have been putting my nose in your work. I also came across with a podcast that you interview somebody, and you did so well. Now, this work of communicators, of journalists, why is it so needed in our world and today?
Well, journalism, obviously we need information. That's how we learn about our communities and to know what our government is doing, to know what's happening in the private sector. If we don't have journalists, then we wouldn't evolve and know again what's going on in our communities and be able to make decisions in voting, for example, or make decisions about our municipalities. So I think especially we're in a time right now with the change in our administrations over the last few months where information is just vital. It's always been vital, but we are in a precarious moment right now, I think, with our democracy. So news and information, not just on the national level, but locally, is very important, particularly because we see so much gentrification in cities all around the world. Again, the inequality that we saw that was highlighted last year. And also, you know, policing in communities has really been highlighted in the last few years. So many killings of unarmed Black people and police, you know, not being held accountable. Obviously, you know, George Floyd is the first, the conviction of the officer Chauvin in that is, you know, that's a first in American history in 400 years. So that we had organizers and young people and activists holding Minneapolis to account, that's important, right? And you need journalists to bring those stories to us and to make sure that those who are responsible, public, private sector authorities are held responsible. And stories, well, we need stories to make us laugh and to lift us up and to invigorate us, right? Stories don't just educate, but entertain. We like to go to the movie. We like to listen to the radio. Who doesn't like to listen to a good story on the radio? I grew up listening to the radio, and I love radio, and it's intimate, and yet it's broad. And so we need stories. That's how we learn about each other and our cultures. And so storytelling, to me, is always going to be just a vital part of life.
Vital part of life. So beautiful what you're saying. Yeah, storytellers. It's a unique thing to do, huh? And we love it. And we love holding the stories of others too. It's so, so important. Thanks again for listening to Storytellers of Color. I have been your host, Rosanna Longo-Better, and I have been speaking with Jennifer Mavery, writer, producer, speaker, actress, and author of the forthcoming memoir, Fighting to Be Seen, A Civil Rights Baby Reflects on Life in Post-Integration America. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for joining us today for our first show of Storytellers of Color.
Well, thank you, Rosanna, for having me. I'm honored to be your first guest, and I wish you nothing but the best as you go forward with these shows.
Thank you so much. This is going to be a collaborative effort, a collective effort. So with this first show, I'm also opening the door wide open to other storytellers to come into our airwaves to tell stories and to be able to occupy this safe space that we are providing. It is so wonderful to have you again.
It's wonderful to be here, and it's wonderful that you're opening this opportunity to other storytellers.
Thank you so much. Once again, you are listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Thank you for joining us today.
KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.